you.
Hallelujah.
It's good to be back again tonight. See, the Holy Spirit wants to take this one more step. Amen. You know, over there in Hebrews chapter 3, 4, somewhere in there, God got upset and he was speaking about children of Israel, why they could not enter, and he swore in his wrath he wouldn't let them in. And he said it was from the provocation, it was the provoking that was going on in the wilderness, but they provoked him a lot in the wilderness. So I just felt like there was just something there. I wanted to know what really set him off. I said, what set him off? And there was 40 years of provoking, I understand that, but there was one thing that set God off. And when they set him off, he said, they did not know my ways. He said, I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter in. Boy, just something was itching in me about that. And I started meditating. I had to go over to Deuteronomy chapter 1, and Moses is actually rehearsing the matter that Hebrews picks up on when God swore in his wrath. And Moses was rehearsing the matter of the spies going into Mount Hebron there in the promised land and getting those grapes, and the murmuring that was going on when they came back and said they saw the giants in the land and things like that. And that particular instance right there, that evil report that they brought back, is what moved God to the boiling point. And when they moved him to the boiling point, he swore to the whole generation would not go in except for Joshua and Caleb. So I started looking at that report. I said, God, we do this all the time. Because he said, you know, we're there in Hebrews. He said, beware lest there has been a rest, a promise of you entering into the rest. Of course, he's speaking of coming in the place we rest from sin when we were born again. But it's also the major principles that govern faith and the operation of faith and the hand of God. And he said there was a promise of rest being left to us. He said the gospel was not only preached to you, it was preached to them too. God was preaching the gospel to them. He was telling them, I'm taking to a land, and the way he was moving them to that land. He called that land the rest. Because this is your place where I'll free you from the hardness of Pharaoh's bondage. It's the place I'm going to free you from the hardships of sin and the sweat of the brow. It was the ultimate curse that was placed upon them in Egypt. They were under really the pinnacle of the curse. The brickyard. Ever felt like you ever been there? I used to call place. That's that place that you've been confined to, but you don't want to be. And God brought them out with a strong hand. And in Deuteronomy 1, Moses begins to rehearse that. And he said, so he swore in his wrath he wouldn't enter in. So I went back to that Mount Hebron experience there in Numbers 23. And I started looking at that evil report. And I said, now what part of this evil report got you, Father? I mean, what was it? They said, it's the last verse of Numbers 13. He said, they did not know my ways. They saw my acts as no other generation, but they never came to the place to know my ways. And I want you to see that a minute before we jump in tonight. Joshua, Numbers 13, I think. It's the last verse. This is the one right here that the Holy Spirit had me key in on. It's verse 33 in Numbers 13. Man, it feels good in here. Goodness gracious. Maso manan. I just sit under. I feel like I'm under a shower right now. Whew. Makosona mano. Mikosuman. The Lord just spoke to me, he said, tell them to get ready. They're very close. Your eyes will feast. Your hands will handle. The glory of heaven is going to be the kingdom of God is at hand, is what the Lord's saying. It's coming into hand length of your life now. Where it was in vision form, God's bringing it. You're going to touch it and taste it. You're going to live in it. It's going to put this city on the map. There's going to be a lot of people who are going to know about Immokalee because of what's being birthed in this place. And there, oh man. Mastoreme kalasanana. Pushtikati brondas difremekandas. Irostum difrum marakosum. Dundas difremekas. Indolashtu fremenanasum. Dokulema. Bring dali klusum. Brustonam vrendele astu from me. Mosim briklasu. Brostili fruparandosti lambrundista. Vremeti lastum mane. Dono sani. Brusti frama. Kisturimo. For surely you've been hidden, says the Spirit of Grace. For you were my hiding. For I've hidden you in a very deep place. But I will soon reveal this place to this nation, says the Spirit of Grace. I will open these walls and these doors and these gates that I've established in this place. For you're a gateway to my glory, to my presence, to the demonstrations, says the Spirit of Grace. For you stood at the gate and said, these gates will open to the nations. And you've not left your place. And surely I will open this place. Masona mekini. For the habitation of my grace. For the heavens. The heavens, says the Spirit of the Lord, are open to you. You're seated with me. And you will very soon rule and reign with me. As stewards of this last day glory. My inheritance. My inheritance. I trust you, says the Spirit of Grace. I trust you in this place. Misono. Because you did not break rank. Mosonamonde. You did not leave the gate. I open it to the nations. Brushtenimasana. I am with you. Not so many. Purdisti. Uchtale Ramasana. Misturmav. Mintaral Sunamiki. So let it be, Father, according to that which was sown here. The days of fainting are over. The days of reaping are upon you. Mikando sto rimini. Don rasto na mikine sende. I've anchored you in these storms. Mistona manda. But now I stand and I say, storms, be still and know you're going to the other side. Mistonamakana. Bushtoremene. Rando somananakatosu. Restonama. think we should just be quiet for a second. The Holy Spirit is brooding in this place right now. You know, there in Genesis 1, the Holy Spirit was just brooding. Before He ever does anything, He'll brood. And the Father conceived the human race, the worlds, everything. He conceived and He saw it. There's a great void there in the face of the deep. The Holy Spirit just brooding like He's just doing there. Then the Logos would capture what was conceived in the Father's heart and the domain of the Father. And He would spoke it. As soon as He spoke it, the activation of heaven began. I said, let there be light. Everything that was conceived in the Father's heart. The Logos spoke, the Holy Spirit performed. Then in Genesis, He wasn't talking to Adam. He was talking to the Holy Spirit. He said, listen, this same way we do things, let them have dominion. Speaking to the Holy Spirit about the Father's creation, the Father said, I want them to have dominion the way we do it. Let them have dominion. And God conceived dominion in the man. He infused it. And we still try and figure out how that dominion is executed into the earth. It's really a great mystery. Everybody knows we got dominion, but how is that dominion? How is it released? Of course, at the fall, man really didn't lose it, but lost it for the kingdom's sake until Jesus fully restored it. God never took the dominion back, and the devil seized the dominion of man. He knows more about it than we do. He couldn't do anything outside of man's authority. He knew when God gave the dominion to man, if he was going to do something in the earth, he's going to have to get somebody. And he understood how it activated. God ingeniously conceived the operation of dominion when he said, a man thinketh in the domain of his heart, so is he. God gave you authority to steward a garden within you. And in that interior garden, Jesus said it like this, as all things are possible to him that believeth. Why is he so adamant that we come to the place we believe? Because it's the nature, and it requires that the way dominion operates, it will flow in accordance to your belief system and what's going on the interior of your garden. This is why the enemy immediately began infusing the human race with iniquity. Why? He wanted to reap a harvest from it. And become so bad that God had to come in and wipe out whole cities because the thoughts and the imaginations of their heart were evil continually. Once that continual cycle begins in a soil of an original mandated dominion, it's going to reap a harvest. When it comes on a city, it'll reap a harvest over a city. If it comes over a nation, it'll reap the harvest over the nation. And God had to step out of his nature, as you heard so many times, and judge a city because he couldn't get it out of their heart. Do you remember the Tower of Babel? Now, they've become one in all the imaginations of the heart. And if God did not separate that, he must execute what's in the domain of our heart. I was watching a program last night about, they called it the curse of the lottery, and that man that won $330 million. And how happy he was and how he wanted to do such great things from it. But within a year, 6 months to a year, everything around him started breaking down. Everything broke down. Family. I say, how can you spend $330 million? He did it. Everything was breaking down. Found himself in jail. In trouble with the law. His daughter went on drugs. She overdosed. Then she died. Divorce wasn't a cure-all because it only revealed what was working in him in the first place. Whatever is given to you from a tree, if it does not change the interior of your life, it's going to only create a temporary solution to a problem that's much greater. That interior domain is everything. That's why he said the kingdom of God is within you. As a man thinketh, you know what that word thinketh? Means to split or open, to act as a gatekeeper. You are a gatekeeper for heaven. Whatever things of the Spirit you allow into the domain of your belief system, and if it can be properly cultivated, properly cultivated, it can open the gates of heaven into the earth. When you're worshiping God, you're creating that atmosphere continually around this holy impregnation. And the enemy cannot breach that atmosphere. And from that holy impregnation, that seeds allowed to grow, that divine deposit from heaven. And it grows within, and it's been seen within and seen. And as you worship Him, you're seeing in that domain. You're becoming a gatekeeper for heaven. And if it remains there, whatever is birthed there will come into the earth. That's why the devil's always coming immediately after word. Because when it meets the dominion of your life, when it meets the domain of your spirit, the Holy Spirit's going to manifest if it remains in there, it will birth into the earth. Your greatest battle is carrying that vision into the fruition. That's why God's ways is you always carry within first, before it's ever seen without. More has been done within than it's been done without. By the time it gets without, it's in full fruition. Nothing can stop it. Where the enemy launches, the onslaught is within. When you're carrying it in impregnation form. Some have to carry longer than others. And when God got the children of Israel, Numbers 13 there, and when they crossed the line with Him, was this one verse. I'm going to read this to you. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. Listen to this. We were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. God Himself could not override that interior. They saw His acts. They saw it all. But they could not override what was going on in the grasshopper face. Don't you understand that I can only manifest what you believe? I told you they would be in there. I told you what was in that land. I told you I gave it to you as an inheritance. Your forefather Abraham was buried in that mountain. That's my mountain. That's not the giants. But to possess it, I require that you see it. He said, we were in their sight as grasshoppers. When you really seek that out, they were afraid of them. The giants were afraid of the children of Israel. But fear had got into the interior. And when it got into the interior, we were as in grasshoppers. They did not steward properly what God had said. That battle was over before they ever walked into that mountain. Only two of them saw what God told them to see. We are living in an hour. We must see what God tells us to see. And we must say what He tells us to say. And if we do not properly cultivate the interior domain, we are a gatekeeper for heaven. Just like R.K. Rowling is a gatekeeper for the devil. The lady who did Harry Potter, she's a gatekeeper for witchcraft to the nations. She opened that gate. She probably had a high, high calling in the kingdom of God. She sold it to the devil, and he moved in on her dominion, and he opened the gate of witchcraft to the world. They would flock to it. A gatekeeper. This is a gatekeeping church right here. You are called to open the gate of God's glory, not only to this city, to this nation. God positioned you at a gate. You can call it what you want, demonstration, apostolic demonstration, 100-fold glory. He put you at the gate of 100-fold glory. He said, open this gate to the nations. And to do that, you're going to have to carry something to some very dark waters. You're going to pass through the fire. You're going to pass through the water. And I'm going to bring you out into a wealthy place. And you carried it. And what protected it more than anything is the veil of worship that was lifted around it. It was the atmosphere that kept that birth intact. The first thing the enemy wants to do is come. He wants to neutralize. And more than that, he wants to paralyze what God has said. How many of you had God speak to you and 3 months later you can't even remember if God said it to you or not? Because of the warfare that's immediately opposed against it. It comes to the exterior, but it's meant to get into the interior. He wants into our garden. He wants to seize it with doubt. He wants to create the grasshopper complex within. That grasshopper complex, my friend, was not created when they went in front of those giants. That was a direct result of them not properly stewarding what God had told them in that wilderness. He kept telling them and telling them and telling them. He already warned them of the giants. But they saw His acts. But they never knew His ways. That's why he said, guard your heart with all diligence. You're not going to find many scriptures like that in the Bible. He said, all diligence. If you're going to guard something in this life, you better guard the kingdom of God within you. You are a gateway, and what you let in the domain of the interior of your life, if it remains there, it'll start showing up in the exterior. For out of it flow the issues. You know what that word issue? Source. Out of your heart, the source of life. Your heart's not the source, but it's connected to the source, and because you're a gateway, the kingdom of God flows through that gate. And the way he flows through the gates is he opens the interior domain. That's what Jesus is trying to do, is open the interior domain. Every time they ask him, all things are possible to him who believeth. I was talking to a friend of mine. In fact, the guy was with me Sunday morning. He said the guy that taught him about, he's a currency trader. And he told me something that was remarkable. He said the guy who was teaching him was born again Christian, and he goes, now I'm going to teach you a few things they won't tell you in most trading schools. He goes, every day the fluctuation in the markets, there's a negative fluctuation and there's a positive fluctuation every single day. He said, what goes on, this is what he said, on the interior of your life, if you have peace in your life, if you have joy, and you're a positive person, so to speak, you're going to attract that part of the market to you. He goes, if you've got a lot of unrest in you and greed, and he said, and you've got a lot of criticism and negativity in your life, he goes, that part of the market would be drawn to you. And he goes, you will never become a successful trader if you've got those kind of strongholds in your life. Because what you're in front of in the marketplace, it's going to attract itself. I saw it. I said, that's dominion. The world system understands this. They call it the secret. They act like they got some kind of revelation that God didn't give from Genesis chapter 1. They're just in the dark side of it. I said, God, why is this? He goes, because I make my sun to shine on the just and the unjust. And a good man out of the good treasure of his heart will bring forth good things. But the evil man out of the evil treasure, he'll also bring it forth, because he still has the original dominion mandate. But here's the difference. The Holy Spirit's going to get involved with the kingdom of God. There is a line that he draws at one point in time of what he broods over. And what he enforces. But when we're aligned with the plumb line of heaven, and he's aligning us with a kingdom mandate, and that alignment begins to take place, he is going to come and sit and start brooding over the purposes of the Father. And when he broods over the dominion the Father originally gave, then you're going to see the explosion to do what man cannot do and what this world is so desperately waiting for. God, he said, the works were finished from the foundation of the world. God's operating from the foundation of a finished work. Everything he does is from that position of a finished work. When he speaks, it's already done. He's inhabiting the end of it, like we talked about Sunday morning. Declaring you're in for a reason, because he puts that end within you. He infuses it on the interior of your life. And hopes that you're going to stand at your gate and steward what he gave you and not be moved. And when all hell comes to try to penetrate that, you hold it fast. What I see more clearly than anything tonight is the worship has created a corporate veil. There's a corporate perimeter. It's also created perimeters around your life. Personally, those of you really doing it, and it's protecting what God has said. And it's creating an environment of brooding right now that's going to cause the release. And in the midst of what he is brooding through, what you see right now. We talked about this Sunday morning when Abraham, Romans 4 gives that testimony of Abraham, that he was fully persuaded that what God had promised he was able to perform. See, it was full of faith. Pictured this man that would not waver at 99 years old
We went over to Genesis and found out when God spoke to him at 99, he fell on the floor and started laughing and said, "Oh, I would that Ishmael would live before you." He wasn't even there. But somewhere in that year, he obtained the testimony of God. He had to go back and do what God told him to do. And there was a stage in that year when he did it. He locked into it. It's amazing what frustration can do. Because it can tell you what ain't going to work. And when you've been around the mountain long enough, you'll find it won't work. When you find out what does work, you will just throw yourself into it. I believe the desperation was in pinnacle level with Abraham. He went back and he began to lay at night. God divinely seeded his imagination. He said, "Would you look at these stars, Abraham? Understand. Use that imagination I gave you, Abraham. Don't see stars, see descendants. See it. See it, Abraham. It's important you see it because I am seeding a part of you that I put a dominion mandate within you, and I can birth a nation out of your loins. If you can come," I call it aligning your frequency. Do you know there's air radio waves going through this building right now? Hundreds of them. If I brought a radio, I could tune that frequency in. You can have country music, rock and roll music, Christian music. You line into that frequency. The kingdom of God has that too. The kingdom of God is a finished work. And Isaiah, I want you to see that. Go over there to Isaiah chapter 6. Show you something awesome. Isaiah 9. I think. Somewhere in here. There it is. I knew he was going to go another route. I should have known that by now, Lord. After 4 hours with you today. You know, you just wrangle with God and you got a way you think it should happen, you know, and you just know it ain't going to go that way. It's just not lining up. I told him, I said, "Lord, I'm get these notes ready anyway. My printer broke." I said, "I want to have them anyway." I told Kathy, she's back there helping me get my, I got to get these notes printed. I said, "I'm probably not going to preach them, but I'm going to have them anyway." Isaiah 9, verse 6. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government of heaven shall be upon his shoulder. His name should be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Look at this, verse 7. "Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end." No end of increase, no end of multiplication. That is already taking place, my friend. He swore it to Abraham. Abraham mediated the covenant between father and son. Drew him up there. He mediated the covenant. He says, "I swear because I can swear by no greater. I will do this and I'll multiply you in the nations." And when he was born in the nations, he's been multiplying ever since. You are a part of that multiplication. And this house is getting greatly tuned in to multiply that seed into the nations. And God started aligning your frequency a long time ago. He says, "Listen, there is a major frequency and I can't seem to get my body in line with it. Every time I try to align them, they're off into AM when I'm trying to get them into FM. He goes, "But I need you to align to this frequency, but to align to my frequency, listen, it's already flowing. It's a finished work. That those currents are moving throughout the earth right now. I'm working from a position of increase and multiplication. Everything I touch multiplies. It's not multiplying for you because you're not aligned to it, but I'll sit you down. I'm going to stop you from doing things that don't pertain to my ways. And I'm going to stop. And I'm going to anoint somebody that has enough gumption to stand there year after year and not move from that gate. And I'm going to put you at a very large gate. But it has some ancient stones in front of it, and you're going to have to bust them down." And I'm going to give you an assignment to open that gate to the nations. And to do that, I need you to tune your frequency in. to heaven and to tune your frequency. I'm going to have to realign the way you do things, the way you believe, what you do on a daily basis. I'm going to realign your actions. I'm going to realign your reactions. I'm going to realign the path that your flesh wanted to go on. And I'm going to set an alignment for your spirit. And I'm going to ask you to dial into this frequency. And to do that's going to cost you everything. But if you'll grab that dial and come with me, I will teach you how to find the frequency of heaven. And when you find that station, then the most beautiful music this world has ever heard, it's going to come down the pipe. And when you align to it, I can align the nation to that frequency. Because it's going to align right at this gate. I pushed you. I placed you at this gate. When I was in the spirit a minute ago, I saw you at that gate. I saw that gate was opening. God was moving angelic forces through that gate. There is so much going on in the spirit around this place. It's amazing. There is such activity happening right now. And then the brooding of the Holy Spirit when He came in and brooded over us. It's a prophetic declaration of demonstration that's coming into this house. God has an atmosphere. He says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servants." I can tell you right now, you're through the worst of it. God is placing very deep in this well. Guard what you see and guard what you say. Stay in absolute alignment with the purpose of heaven in this place. Because what is abiding within you right now, you are a gateway, and what you allow into your gates is hugely important in this season for you right now. When God wanted to open the gates of the gospel to the Gentiles, He called a man, Peter, that did not believe the Jew could associate with the Gentile. And God had so much faith in His man, He sent Cornelius' men before He ever got Peter's okay. Cornelius' men were on their way to Peter's house, and God hadn't even convinced Peter that he can drop the glory of God and the Holy Spirit upon the Gentiles. And He lowered the sheet of animals. He said, "Peter, rise and eat." He goes, "Not so. We don't eat these things." He said, "You will call unclean what I've called clean now." He said, "Peter, listen. You have the Gentile race inside you right now. And I'm coming to you as a gate to the Gentiles. But I'm going to have to come through your gate. And before I get through this gate, Peter, I got to rearrange the way you think. I got to rearrange what you believe. Right now, I cannot come through your gate until you get over into my frequency. And right now, my frequency is, Peter, I'm coming to the Gentiles. And I've got to have your agreement for it. You got to know this gospel is not just for Jew only." God got it over to him, and as soon as Peter aligned with heaven, God said, "There's two men waiting at your door. Go with them." He sent them before He even convinced Peter. God has a whole lot more faith in us than we know. He said, "I got a man. I know his heart. May make a lot of mistakes, but I know his heart. And he's a gateway to the Gentiles. I'm going to open the whole gospel to the Gentiles from that one gate." You know for a certainty and understanding what's coming through your gate. You've been given a mandate of dominion in this earth. When God puts a promise in you, it is the most precious thing you're ever going to hear from heaven. What God does through you is not near as great as that promise within, and how it's cultivated within the dominion. When Peter aligned himself and said, "Okay, let's do it." Peter walked up into Cornelius' house. He got to say about three words, and the Holy Spirit just fell on him. He had to come through Peter. The
kingdom of increase and multiplication was already flowing before Peter said, I do. It was all around him. He sent Cornelius' men to him. But soon as he got that alignment from Peter, he sent him into Cornelius' house, and the birth of the Gentile world, you and me, right there. Oh, hallelujah! You're a gateway. You are the gate. And the blood of Jesus has cleansed your foundation. I'm going to show you something about where we're administrating. In Genesis, because of the curse, man was confined to the sweat of the brow. It was a direct conflict in the way dominion would operate from a foundational seat of rest with man. Now, man began laboring under the sweat of the brow. The original operation of man, there was not that. They would conceive within the heart. It would become a breeding ground and a ground of cultivation. And when God got enough of the cultivation, and in order the belief system, heaven would come through, and then man would work in accordance with heaven's harmony. With heaven on his side. When heaven's clearing the path. And you're walking with God. But when the curse came into the world, the sweat of the brow come in. And so did a whole order of activity that's all been purged from the seat of heaven. The first thing God had to do is get man back in alignment with that dominion, in harmony with the way dominion works. How long is it going to take us to realize when heaven wants the birth, it's an interior birth first? You know how many times God will witness to your spirit before He ever does something exteriorly? So many times you'll get the victory within. I can't tell you how many times an intercession would fall and we'd pray through something and all of a sudden, we'd walk with something for a year and then the intercession for it, the gate was ready to be opened. It would fall. The victory report of heaven would show up and just start walking out what God had already prepared. What the church has tried to do in so many cases is go out in front of God and His own sufficiency under the sweat of the brow is never going to get the result of heaven. Pastor Bronx said it the best. He goes, listen, we're not trying to do it. We're just going to get Him right here. Because if He gets in here, He'll bring the nations. He's dialing everything in. Go over to Mark 15. The next two nights, I'll talk to you, God willing, from here on out. The Lord willing. On this paintbrush the Holy Spirit uses to rewrite your belief system. It's like a turbocharged paintbrush. And what you couldn't write in 24 years, He can write it out in 3 months. He did it with Abraham. The first thing He's going to have to do is activate. One of the most powerful things He ever gave man was the seat of the imagination. You don't think the imagination was just for kids, you know. Why do you think it's so active when they're children? The very number one attribute a child possesses is imagination. And if that child, every child has one. Isn't it amazing when we grow up we lose it? Unless you're artistic, we generally lose the imagination. He said, unless this man humble himself and becomes a little child, him shall be greatest. Why? Because he wants to reactivate. That's the only thing he was talking about. But children hold such incredible attributes that heaven works through. Innocency, teachableness. But that imagination, why do you think the enemy wants to seed it with witchcraft? What do you think this Harry Potter thing is about anyway? Because he sees the last day army of demonstration. He already knows it. He's more aware of it than we are. He knows God is about to raise a generation that's going to harvest this earth world over with demonstration that this world has never seen. So what does he do? He puts the witches on the front cover of the television. And they start showing the power of witchcraft. And he seeds a young generation with witchcraft that's unnoticed. Why? Because he wants to reap a harvest so they can contend with the last day apostles. That's exactly what he's after. But he has to come through the imagination. He's coming through the gate. The man that owned the trade towers, they ask him, how did you do that before they fell? He said, I saw it a long time before they were ever constructed. He was just operating, and he probably doesn't even know it, but a dominion, because he allowed something to be harvested. The world knows these things. You can go into a corporate boardroom and they'll teach you these things, but they're going to use them for money and for gain and for the lust of the flesh. And there's a time the Holy Spirit, he says, no, that's not what we do here. It's not until you align with the purposes of your Father it becomes sanctified. And that's what I call it, the power of a sanctified imagination. Become alignment with the kingdom of God under the dominion of the Holy Spirit. And now he is ordering the imagination into a realm where he can rewrite certain things within the interior of our life to bring us into an alignment with what already is, so he can release it. That's what he's doing in this season. He's aligning us. This last alignment, the plumb line has been drawn into the earth. And he's creating an alignment with those that can hear. And in that alignment, you get in tune with the finished work. And the Holy Spirit will get you in tune. And one of the great things he's going to use, he's going to restore the imagination. How many of you had a very active imagination as a child? Raise your hand. The rest of you can come and repent. Many of you probably don't even know. You don't remember playing with your army men? Why do you think Jesus came and taught in parables? What do you think he was trying to activate when he would teach in a parable? The prodigal son that left his father's house, spent all his money and righteous living, and then would have feigned to eat the swine husk. Now, if I ask you all to close your eyes right now, you can get a real vivid picture of that. What part of that is coming? Where are you getting that picture from? That's your imagination. But it's in tune with the Word of God. When he said that, Joshua, that you would meditate day and night, you know what that word meditate? That you wouldn't imagine. You set your imagination. Why? Because he wants the surrendered imagination for his purposes under heaven. I'll share more about that in the next couple of nights. We're going to activate that. Because some of you, I'll tell you what happens. The age of accountability, when innocency is lost. I remember my kids running around the backyard. They don't do this now, but they did. They just had their birthday suits on, both of them. They were running around the backyard, and I just started looking at that. I'm like, at what age do they stop doing that? Because right now, they don't care. They don't see each other's nakedness. And I'm like, now Carson, you know, he's getting of age now. He used to just dart around the house, you know. You understand. But he doesn't do that anymore now. He's getting of age. He said, son, the day that they know they're naked, they've reached the age of accountability. That day they know it. That's when they're going to be accountable for everything. And that's generally when innocency is lost. And once they're in that state of, as they continue in that state of innocency, if a nuclear bomb blew up, they're innocent, they're not accountable, they're going to be in heaven. I said, well, he goes, you want to know when it goes? He goes, if a child is abused, one of the first thing that goes in the abuse is the imagination. Something within us shuts down with betrayal, offense, and abuse. Or when we lose the innocency of God, and if we drop off into valleys of sin, one of the first things to go is the imagination. God wants to restore it and get it in alignment with his kingdom. So we can align with this kingdom. We start worshiping Jesus, our provider. And worship Him as the revivalist, you know. Worship Him as the healer. You start seeing Him, see. You start meditating the Word, you see it. And that heavenly deposit that was placed within you. Man, I'm just talking to you tonight. That's what the Lord wanted me to do, just talk to you tonight. I'm not preaching, I'm not teaching, I'm talking to you. But He puts that deposit, it's a living deposit, and if your imagination gets in line with it, you'll start seeing it the way God sees it, and He wants you to see it the way He sees it. Why else did He come to Abraham and said, listen, what's in you, Abraham, is also in those stars. If you'll look at those stars, it'll tell you what's in you. I need agreement from you before I can birth! Look! 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 God wants to realign what we see. Because every day you wake up and if you see nothing but discouragement, it's going to create an atmosphere around your life. It's going to breed depression. The very time you see that stack of bills and you can't get past that to see Jesus, your provider, it's going to breed things. A hopelessness. A wondering. And if it continues, you'll start indicting God, why do you do this to me? I remember the day when I crossed the line in that area. It took me 9 months. I don't struggle financially, but I tell you, I struggled every day before that. I remember Gary's testimony of mine. They're real synonymous in many things. It took 9 months to dial into that. Some people don't struggle with that at all. But they struggle with other things. Some people struggle just day in and day out. And you dial in that frequency, I knew. Say, how did you know when heaven was going to come? I said, I knew it in here. Because I could sit there and hold those bills and they wouldn't talk to me anymore. They would not prophesy anymore. I had dominion over them and I felt it. I did not feel the weight or the burden or the atmosphere or the fear or the discouragement they were continually putting before my household. I started seeing and I would laugh at them. You know, the place I started laughing and I said, you're not truth, you're fact. It's just a fact. Truth is what God's Word said. And it became more real. But it all happened interiorly first. And once that battle was thoroughly won, the gate opened. That's what requires of heaven to open a gate. Now, it was just a gate of provision, but God's revival can open the same way through a gate like that. And once the gate is open, it starts flowing. And nothing stops the flow. I'll tell you why right here. I'm going to close with this. I got a couple of things and I'll close. It's my first close. First thing he had to do is break the sweat of the brow before he positioned you. This is what Mark 15 was about, verse 16. And the soldiers led him away to the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band, and they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it upon his head. I saw it in a vision and started meditating this. In verse 19, they smote him on the head with reeds. They took these poplar reeds and they began to smite him on the head. And I saw the Jerusalem, those thorns, that crown, I saw him penetrate right through the brow. They beat it right through his brow. And when those thorns, they were beaten right through, I saw it penetrate into the interior. I saw the blood begin to pour. And he said, I was carrying the mind of Adam. I was carrying the sweat of the brow. And it was a necessity that that curse be purged from mankind before I could freely say, now you have the mind of Christ. I redeemed you from it. That, not just that. He gave us a seat. And this is where he's orchestrating dominion now from. Now get this before we close. The Lord told me, he said, I have many people in this day that are walking with me, and I have even more that are running with me, but I have few right now that are sitting with me. He said, in this last day army, I'm looking for kings. People who understand how dominion operates, they can sit down with me in a seat that I've already pre-purchased for you. So I can share my heart and man, I can divinely seed your garden, the domain of your spirit, and I can pass heaven through you. The greatest gate of all is the one where we're seated with Him as joint heirs. This is the gate He's opening. Or He's given us access. He already opened it 2,000 years. He's teaching us the access of it. We'll go there and we'll close. I want you to go to Ephesians. Just want to look at this seat. Because God's teaching us how to sit with Him. Just what I mean by that. I know you got to go to work. I'm not talking about natural things. I'm talking about spiritual things. I'm talking about a state of rest you enter into with heaven. And you sit down with heaven. And you stop the human sufficiency. And you cease from your own works. And you sit until God totally kills Ishmael. Until human sufficiency is totally purged to where there's peace now in your borders. And then God says, now you can sit with me because you have peace. Because my kingdom is harmony. And to be in harmony, to be at peace, you'll be in harmony with me. Now you can come up. Do you know the kingdom of God requires peace for you to come up? You think you're going to be an agitated, little busy bee and go sit with Him in the heavenly places? No. You got to be in the same position He's in. He's in absolute harmony. Absolute peace. That's why He's working the borders of your life. He's working the peace. He's removing the strongholds, cleansing the foundations, getting you at peace, getting you at rest so you can sit with Him. And now He can share the dominion and put you at a gate and have you open it to the nations. Booyah. Ephesians 1 verse 15. Verse 17 for time's sake. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That you may know the hope of His calling, what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and sat Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. Underline that. Sat Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. Now look where it's at. Look at the position He holds with the Father. Far above principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world but that which is to come. He is seated above the armies of hell. Where He administrates above it. He is not in the midst of that war. I love the spiritual warfare kind of people that are fighting devils all the time. But I can tell you, you have a seat that's much higher than that. And you can stomp them right out of your life. If you can learn to be seated and dial your frequency into what you've already been given. Did you underline where He was seated? Now let's see where we're seated. Next chapter, Ephesians 2, verse 4. My friend, this is not a seat you're going to get to when you get to heaven. It's a seat that you have now. Okay? Verse 4, Ephesians 2. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, He quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. If that wasn't enough, He raised us up together. You notice how He's speaking past tense here? We've been quickened. We've been raised. And then what did He do? He made us sit together. Where He just described in Ephesians 1. Far above. You've been positioned above. That is a seat you've been given. And to get access to that seat, it requires the rest. It requires the absence of human sufficiency. Requires the ceasing of our own labors. He that enter into His rest, He has ceased from His own labors. And He takes His seat. And Ephesians 1 and 3 says, where in that seat you've been blessed with all the spiritual blessing in heavenly places. The reason why we can't access them because we haven't learned to get up there. Or get in there, however you want to look at it. You even go in, go up. However it makes you. But there is a position. You can attain to it. You start worshiping God, you'll get there. You'll get seated with Him. When that atmosphere breaks out and you break through and that atmosphere surrounds you,
The seat's yours all the time, but you get all the feeling and the tangibility of it when you get into the atmosphere. Once you're positioned there, that is such a breeding ground for dominion. That's when He shares His heart. It's in that place right there. You've got to guard all of that. Because He is seating the part of you. It's a gateway. He wants access. It's in that seat all of heaven can come into the earth. He had to bring you up there in order to get heaven into the earth. It's your position. And one of the greatest gateways in that seat is the activation of the sanctified imagination when you can see in alignment with what He sees. Because He's going to share His words with you. He's going to share His thoughts. And He's going to share His visions with you. And what He shows you, He funnels through your system. And when you begin to align, when there it's so perfect, you get back down here and all hell breaks out around it. You ever notice? It breaks out around it because it wants the same access you've just been given. The enemy wants the access. You know, the man that discovered the internet, I understand this to be true right now. He was a born-again Christian. Another man had a vision of what happened. As soon as he was given the access from the heavenly courts, he had the witty invention. He started carrying it, and he tried to get financing, and he couldn't get it. And a man walked up to him. He was cloaked in a dark suit, but he saw the Spirit behind him, and he offered him a huge amount of money for the rights to it. And he sold the rights. And when he sold it, it gave the enemy a free license to run his kingdom through the internet. That's the power we've been given His sons. And He's not going to get this revival. This is a gateway, and these gates are just about fully opened. And heaven's going to come through them. And you're going to be blessed among all people, I'm telling you right now. The Spirit of Mary that's in this place. And I'm not talking about the Catholic thing. I'm talking about the Hannah birther. Hannah gave birth to Samuel. Samuel gave birth to David. David gave birth to Solomon. That's what's going on. It's my pleasure talking to you tonight. Amen.
Hallelujah.